Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, a senior member of Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Hello, and welcome to the Tortoise Credit Strategies Weekly Podcast. I'm John Heitkemper, Portfolio Manager for High Yield Bonds and Leveraged Loans. Now that the calendar has turned to May, we're just a few weeks away from Memorial Day, the traditional transition point from spring to summer. For some of us, it also marks the time to start wearing white pants or seersucker suits again. If you happen to be in need of new summer fashion, there's a good chance you're going to be doing at least some of your shopping online. The increasingly rapid trend toward online shopping over brick-and-mortar stores is having a material impact on the high-yield retail sector, which we'll explore more closely later in the podcast. First, let's review some of the economic and bond market news from the past week. Recent U.S. economic data has generally been mixed. The first estimate of Q1 U.S. GDP growth was released on Friday and disappointed at just 0.7% versus the Bloomberg consensus of 1.0%. Although Q1 readings have been relatively soft in recent years, the underlying components of the figure were especially disappointing. Consumer spending came in below expectations, and the change in inventories was a significant drag. In data released this week, personal spending for March was flat versus February and below consensus, confirming the softness in the Q1 GDP report. On the positive side, a separate report showed that February new home sales increased 17% year over year, beating expectations of a 10% increase, while pending home sales for March fell slightly month over month, although the decline was less than expected. The most recent readings on consumer confidence, capital goods orders, construction spending, and the ISM Manufacturing Index were also slightly softer than forecasted. In the world of central banking, the European Central Bank left policy unchanged last week, although ECB President Mario Draghi acknowledged that the European economy is improving. Consensus among economists is building around the belief that the ECB will begin winding down its asset purchases and potentially raising rates later this year. The Bank of Japan also left rates unchanged last week, but its accommodative policies will likely remain in place for some time as the central bank lowered its inflation forecast marginally. Back here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is also expected to leave rates unchanged when it meets tomorrow, May 3rd. The June meeting is probably live for a rate increase, however, but the FOMC will have to balance tepid economic readings of late against its intention to raise rates two more times in 2017. In financial markets, U.S. equities rallied last week on the back of the French election results, as covered by my colleague Greg Handel on the prior podcast. The risk rally included a solid move up for the U.S. high-yield bond market as well. As a result, high yield finished April with a gain of 1.15% per the J.P. Morgan index, pushing the year-to-date return to 3.65%. Circling back to the top of the podcast, the high-yield retail sector is down 1.02% year-to-date and is noteworthy as the only high-yield industry to post negative returns so far in 2017. The high-yield market is currently littered with stressed retail credits, including specialty retailers like Claire's and Guitar Center, apparel retailers such as J.Crew and Gymboree, and department stores Bon-Ton and Neiman Marcus. Many of these issuers are burdened with debt incurred during leveraged buyouts several years ago. Shoe store Payless recently became the 10th retailer to file for bankruptcy protection thus far in 2017, putting the current year on a pace comparable to 2008 and 2009. Of course, economic conditions are significantly better today than they were during the 2008 recession. Unemployment is low, consumer balance sheets and confidence are healthy, and wages are slowly recovering. We believe the real challenge for the retail space, and particularly for those operating with significant financial leverage, is not cyclical, but in fact a combination of longer-term secular trends. The most obvious of these trends is the massive growth of online retailing that has largely come at the expense of traditional brick-and-mortar retailers. Amazon's electronics and general merchandise segment reported sales of nearly $100 billion last year, up over $22 billion from the prior year. To put that growth in perspective, $22 billion is equal to the entire sales of Sears, the struggling retail icon, during its latest fiscal year. While online sales growth has outpaced the brick-and-mortar competition for several years, Barclays recently predicted that if trends continue, brick-and-mortar sales will actually begin to decline on an absolute level. We think the switch to buying online is also being exacerbated by changing consumer preferences, probably most noticeable in the spending habits of the millennial generation that supposedly prefers experiences over material goods. Consumer spending data shows that expenditures on durables and services is growing much faster than on historically key brick-and-mortar categories like apparel and electronics. Is there anything that traditional retail can do to offset these trends? Traditional retail growth strategies may, in fact, contribute to today's woes. For many years, retailers simply opened more stores in order to grow, fueling the expansion of mall locations across America. That growth, which easily outpaced population increases, has left the retail industry with too much capacity, in our view. Unfortunately, many retailers funded their expansion with debt and became over-leveraged as sales and profits declined. While unprofitable stores can eventually be closed, the debt remains. Some retailers look to strategically grow their e-commerce platforms in order to have an omni-channel presence. For instance, PetSmart just announced the acquisition of online retailer Chewy.com for over $3 billion, a seemingly big price tag for a six-year-old company that's reportedly still losing money. Even more aggressive companies are looking to preemptively restructure their balance sheets using loopholes and debt covenants, hoping to act ahead of bond maturities that might otherwise force bankruptcy. We're not calling for the death of the brick-and-mortar business model, but we believe it will be critical to the survival of many retailers that they address these secular challenges over the next few years. While our house view doesn't call for an economic downturn in the near future, if history is a guide, the challenges facing the retail industry will only get worse during the next recession. Just think back to what the digital transformation did to traditional media like newspapers during the last recession. It wasn't pretty. In summary, we expect continued instability in the retail sector as the year progresses, but it's this volatility and the opportunity that it presents that makes high-yield investing exciting and rewarding. Thank you for listening to the Tortoise Credit Podcast, and hopefully you will join us for next week's edition.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseinvest.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intent.